For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Every show today started with some bit of like, can you feel it? Football's back. And I'm like, I'm not there yet. Like, because here's the thing. At least in my brain, I treat college football in the NFL a little differently. So for me, it'll be back officially. I'll get the football vibes probably Thursday heading into the first game of the season.
I got the football vibes Saturday morning. I was ready.
Is that a complication of what you just went through?
No, health-wise? the side effects.
You got the rumbly tumblies and the football vibes.
It was good that I was next to my own bathroom for a while there.
That'll happen there. With those football vibes, you never know how football vibes are going to hit you, though.
Yep. But no, I had the remote in my hand at noon looking for games. Just, I'm ready to go for football, man.
So it's interesting. I think we're all a little all over the place with where this game is on Sunday. One, can I just say this?
By the way, I'd like you to speak for yourself on that. I'm pretty content with the place that I'm at going into Sunday's game. I would not describe myself as being all over the place.
Well, I don't mean you specifically, but I just think the characterization of this game has been pretty outsized and pretty massive. And I'm not trying to be that guy. I ran hard at Guardians fans for thinking too globally like 3 weeks ago when it finally was, well, it's over.
Because the wheels were coming off the wagon.
Yeah, and I was like, okay, guys, there's still time. They can get this back. They can get this righted. And by the way,
they got a couple spares on it, and guess what?
It looks like we're doing okay here. The rotations come together. We got some Guardians talk on the way as well today. But like, I heard the morning show today. Just feels like it couldn't be any bigger. It feels bigger this year. And then I've kind of heard everybody say something like that. And I think there is the hype around the game, which I still don't hear a lot of, other than on sports talk radio. And then there is the actual stakes of the game themselves, which from the game side, it's an NFC opponent, so it's not like we're going to be jostling for position.
Right.
It is a team that I think, kind of like the Browns, nobody really knows what to make of Dallas because of their offseason and the fact their head coach and their quarterback are lame ducks this year. Like, I think there's a lot of blah to the Cowboys this year in a way I don't think there are usually.
Well, hopefully we see a lot of blah on Sunday from the Cowboys specifically. Not so much from the Browns. Not looking for blah. I'm worried about blah from the Browns. It's probably my chief concern is offensively.
But can I speak to that? How is that not every year? I'm not saying specific to you. I'm saying specifically, like, again, another thing that I've heard, and honestly, it started this weekend. I just don't know what to think about the Browns. Guys, that should be every year. I don't know there's a year we've been able to go in since 2021 that we knew what to expect, because every year has been some weird, jilted, well, six-game suspension. Well, okay, new offense. All right, now it's Deshaun's health. Like, isn't that what most NFL teams feel today, that we just don't know what the hell to expect?
Well, here's why Sunday's game has the feeling of being a larger of an opener than we're accustomed to here in Cleveland.
Tom Brady's debut.
Well, there's that too, which I'm sure we're going to have a conversation about what to expect from him.
Yeah.
I'm going to have the...
A little something south of Saban.
I Yes, definitely.
Saban for every former coach and QB, it's now astronomically high what he did on game day this week.
Tony Romo did not set the bar. I think Saban has set the bar.
Well, I think Tony set
Romo
the bar.
Tony Romo is just now annoying.
And then Tony realized that maintaining the bar was tough, so then he lowered the bar a little bit, and then every year Tony Romo has lowered
just
the bar a little bit.
Well, yeah. And just gone from... just to straight annoying.
And by the way, every year he's made a little bit more money. So if there's some sort of reaction there, I'm going to start working a lot less hard just so I can start seeing those ducats go
up. And I'm going to try and become even more annoying to see if my paycheck could increase too.
Oh, I thought you had hit kind of critical mass.
Oh, no. Wow. Well, yeah. There's always room.
Yeah, that was the gentlest dork joke that I've made so far. Yeah. With love.
Oh, don't worry. We still have... 4 hours and 53 minutes. I'm sure I'm going to get my shots in.
Let's not get cocky there.
I always get my shots in. They're not usually good shots.
Okay, Aaron Rodgers.
But, you know, I do take them, even if they're whiffs.
Great Pfizer joke. You need to just let it skip on by. So why do you think this game is bigger than usual?
I'll just say I wish the shots worked better. Anyway, so the reason why this game is bigger... or has the perception of being bigger, because this is the first Browns opener in a very, very... And I'm trying to rack my brain. Typically, the Browns are buried on week one, Sunday afternoon at 1 o'clock, and they get the C, D, E, F, and G broadcast team for their opener. This is 4:25, national window on Fox, with the number one broadcast team of the Killer Bees of Fox, right? Yeah. That's why. And of course, it's Dallas, right? Who every year, at least in my opinion, I feel like the Cowboys every year are always overhyped because they're, in air quotes, America's team, as I roll my eyes saying that. They're not America's team, okay? Jerry Jones lost his fastball of putting football teams together back in, like, I would say 1995, right?
By the way, this has become evergreen now. Right. Because I agree with you. But this has now become, like, it's honestly, it's not even eminent domain anymore. It's not registered. We all just look at this and go, that dude talks way too much for how little they've succeeded in 30 years.
Right, right. And nobody negotiates against himself better than Jerry Jones does as well, right?
Hey, it's just that he's an option quarterback just like Pat Mahomes. I don't know if anybody remembers that one from earlier this offseason.
There's part of me that's hoping that Dak Prescott puts together an ungodly statistical year just to jam Jerry Jones for another $10 million in annual value.
Oh, see,
above and beyond what Dak was already going
to
get.
I'm to the point with Dak that I was with Kirk Cousins, which is I was so happy when Kirk Cousins left Washington because I just got so sick of him kind of being kicked the can down the road in his contract.
Right.
That bears fruit. Washington has not been good since Kirk left. You can make an argument about whatever argument you want about him making his money, but I think Dak is the only thing propping up that entire franchise.
Yeah.
And honestly, like specifically to this game, Dallas has Dak. They've got CeeDee Lamb. They've got Trevon Diggs. They've got Micah Parsons. Beyond that, like, I don't know that they, and maybe this doesn't bear fruit week one, but I think part of my, is one, the whole, but they used to be somebody vibe. Guys, if we all agree they haven't been somebody in 30 years, if you're still holding on to the Cowboys bandwagon.
Right.
I mean, it's like the guy with three hairs on top of his head trying to build a mullet at the Medina County Fair. Like, at some point, you just got to let it go.
Listen, the Vince Lombardi trophies are no longer the shiny silver. They've got tarnish on them. They've got dust
on them.
They've
turned green. If you touch them, do you get green on your hands?
Probably. Like, you know, like it's been so long, right? And every year, and I get it. Like, Jerry Jones is a master marketer. Mm-hmm. The Cowboys are master marketers, right? But that doesn't mean your product is good. And for me, I feel like the Cowboys are the ultimate tease. They're going to win 10 to 12 games every year. They're going to be in contention for the top seed in the NFC. And they're going to do what they always do in the playoffs, and that is bite the dust quickly and hard.
Do you look at this as an opportunity for a statement win?
I feel like that if the Browns win the game, they're going to get no credit whatsoever. But if they lose the game, they're going to get destroyed by the national media. I feel like that's just where the Browns are at as far as the view. And that's why I loved so much what Wyatt Teller had to say yesterday about not just expectations going into the season. I know we're going to get into it in the show, but like the perception of the Browns, the expectation of the Browns and stuff like that. And Wyatt's overall message was like, who cares? Like, we know what our expectations are internally. We're just not going to invest a lot of time and energy worrying about you and the media. No, nothing personal against you guys, or you know, locally or nationally or whatever. But I feel like that the reality of this game, Nick, is that because it's in this prime window, right, this 425 national window, pretty much the entire country is going to have exposure to this game on television, that and it's the first time that going into the season in a while where the Browns are in a prime window right out of the gate. And it just so happens to be they're playing the Cowboys. Would this game have as much juice if it was Browns, Steelers, Browns, Ravens in the 425 window? Would it, in your view, would it have the same juice?
Here or nationally? Because I do think those are two different things.
I would say probably nationally.
Nationally, no. I mean, I think Dallas is one of the sacred cows. That's one of the three teams that if you talk about them, you're shooting into the right circle. Like if you aim for the middle of Cowboy Nation, you're gonna hit home more often than not.
Right.
But for me, I don't have that sizzle. Like I have credible fear because Dak Prescott is the truth. I have credible fear because Micah Parsons is really good.
Is it?
But it's an NFC game, so if implications are pretty nil. It's an early season game, so now we have a little bit more like, well, how much are both teams really going to be ready for the moment? And then I think the biggest pomp and circumstance thing is, well, but the Cowboys bring more sizzle. Well, they bring more eyes to the product, but I do think, like, I think if we're going to say, man, that guy has not had the secret sauce for 30 years, I think that's part of the conversation. So you said something earlier that I vehemently disagree with. I think if the Browns win, it'll be the Cowboys suck. I think if the Browns lose, it'll be the Cowboys are great. So I think when it comes to the national sizzle, whoever plays Dallas week one, unless it's the 49ers, and that's another, like, hey, this is a rivalry going back 30 years. I think unless it's something like that, whoever ends up playing Dallas just ends up kind of being a some sort of a secondary thing to the story instead of, oh, man, maybe the Browns are a good team. I don't think that's going to be the narrative if the Browns beat the Cowboys.
Well, actually, you do agree with me, because if the Browns beat the Cowboys, they don't get the credit. And if they lose, well, you know, it's going to be the Browns are back to being the Browns and the Cowboys are
destined for
New Orleans, Louisiana.
I don't even think we'll get there. I think it's 100% the Cowboys are going to the Super Bowl if the Browns win. So I think, like, so
you mean if the Cowboys win, they're going to the Super Bowl? The Cowboys aren't going to the Super Bowl if they lose week one.
Yes.
That's not going to be the narrative.
When we're talking about the statement wins and, you know, whether this game just feels bigger, it definitely feels different. But I think so much of where I'm coming from is the Browns are right where I'm most comfortable with my favorite teams being, Daryl. And that is kind of ignored. And even when the Browns are talked about, it is about, Deshaun Watson, can he, will he? It's all about the offensive line. It's all about, you know, well, is Amari happy because you just tried to trade him for Ayuk? And we found out over the weekend from Albert Breer, a 2, a 3, and Amari was the offer to San Francisco for Brandon Ayuk, who's since re-signed in San Francisco. But, like, ironically enough, yes, those things are things I think about with the Browns. But yet I don't hear the defense that was the number one team in the number one defense in the NFL. Like, who's returning pretty much every major starter outside of middle linebacker. So, like, I'm comfortable with where the Browns are. This is as slept on as I think they've been. And I think some of that is just, well, Dallas might have a slightly brighter, pardon the pun, star than you. And that's, I'm okay. The last 5 years of big expectations, outsized expectation, is it the best roster we've ever had? You know, all that stuff. I'm glad none of that stuff's here. I'm happy this team gets to earn it in their own right.
All the drama was in Dallas.
Yep.
That's the thing, right? That CeeDee Lamb. Now Dak is, you know, hanging over like a dark cloud, his contract situation.
Oh, no, no, no. Jerry Jones is the dark cloud. Dak is a reasonable man. I will stand for Dak Prescott with some of the disrespect that man has taken around the NFL.
What I meant to say was the contract situation of Dak Prescott is the dark cloud, not so much Dak. But, you know, really the most drama that the Browns had to deal with in training camp was the potential of trading Amari Cooper for Brandon Ayuk, which didn't happen.
Yeah. And the Michael Jr. thing, which is nothing that they can control.
And the good news is that Amari Cooper is a grown man. He's an adult. He doesn't act like a child.
Is he the adult in the room they were looking for?
I'm pretty sure he is. And so I have no anticipation that there's going to be any residual animosity or anything like that. Look, the Browns did him a solid by guaranteeing his money, going into training camp so that he was going to get paid. Unfortunately, he didn't get what he really wanted, and that was more guaranteed money with more years attached to the contract.
It's tough when the only thing you get is more money, but not more money in the future.
Well,
story of my life. I mean, what are we talking about?
But he's going to get a chance and be motivated, obviously, to play well going into free agency next year. So he gets a bite at the apple, and he's going to get his market value.
But do you agree that the Browns are being slept on? Because I do, and for once, I don't take it personally.
Well, let me ask you this. Why would you hype the Browns right now?
Oh, no. That's not what I'm saying. No. Because I don't think they should be hyped right now. What I'm saying is there are so many questions that if you've got this many questions, and I do think the first half of the season is a big exploratory, who the hell are we, what do we do well, if that's where your team is, even if I still think you're a playoff team, we'll get to ceiling and floor later in the show.
Right.
But even if I do, I'd rather it be where every bit of attention that is going to be on the Browns this year is going to be earned.
Right.
Right? It's not going to
for better or worse. Yes, and it's going to be earned.
It's not going to be because you made this trade for Deshaun 2 years ago. It's not going to be because of any of the stuff that accompanied the trade with Deshaun. It's not going to be you spent the offseason talking a big game. Like this going into this season, this quiet, this is afforded to you by a statement-averse franchise who likes to keep things on the DL. So rather than go, well, what is nobody talking about the Browns? Where's my dogs at? Vibe check, dog check. Instead of that, I'm just going to enjoy it. Because anything that happens from here, listen, if the Browns go 7-10, no one's going to talk about them because nobody had any outsized expectations other than Shannon Sharpe saying something on Fox Sports 1 earlier today. The only guy I've heard say a nice thing about the Browns. Fine, that's awesome. Whereas if the Browns come out there and over the next 5 weeks put themselves in a position to start the season strong, that's going to be like a natural, organic way to start the hype on the Cleveland Browns rather than, well, Deshaun Watson, top five quarterback. That might end up becoming a conversation this year, but again, nobody expects anything out of Deshaun. Nobody expects anything out of the Browns other than maybe be the third or fourth best team in this division. Cool. That's fine. Because honestly, every time, and I don't think it's a Cleveland thing. I think the toughest thing a coach can do now is try and deal with media hype. Because these young dudes are so savvy, they're so smart,
their faces are buried in their phones.
Well, but they have five different ways to communicate with fans. That the only thing these guys know is getting their booty sniffed. Like that's the only thing because you can get it anywhere. And the problem is you can also get the hate anywhere you want to go. But fine, ignore them. I'm right where Wyatt Teller is on this whole damn thing where it's like, that's cool. Because I do think that Nick Saban rat poison, it's funny, Nick Saban left college football. Yeah. Rat poison has only gotten more and more and more just everywhere than it was even 15 years ago. Because there's always someone looking to cut you down. There's always someone looking to build you up. And you never know if they're actually believing it or if they're just looking for something to say on any given day.
Well, and two, you're also looking at not just the national media landscape, but just social media that's in these, you know. Every time a player or a coach says, I don't read or I don't listen to anything, they're reading and listening. Okay?
Thanks for listening, by the way.
Appreciate you. But that's just the reality, right? I mean, that's coach and player speak for, yeah, we're hearing all the stuff you guys are saying, and, you know, y'all can have a nice day. And you can translate that how it should be needs to be translated.
I don't think they mean have a nice day.
Correct.
Darrell. Okay. Just want to make sure we're on the same page.
We're definitely, we're simpatico on that one. But, yeah, it is. And it is, like Nick Saban likes to call it, rat poison. And also, too, with the younger players, it's you get the flowers before you accomplish anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're told how great you are before you've actually built the resume of greatness.
Mm-hmm.
That's not to say you're not good or you don't have talent, but, like, what have you accomplished? And I'll give Wyatt Teller some credit yesterday. He unsolicited mentioned, we haven't won a division since the 80s, 1989. We've accomplished nothing. So, yeah, it's probably right that we're not top of everyone's mind to be picked to go to the Super Bowl. A couple years ago, coming off the 2020 season, the COVID season, right? They were a player or two away in Kansas City, away from getting to the conference championship, right? And what was everyone saying after that game? Browns will be back next year. Not a big deal. Not an opportunity lost. Going to be back next year. There's always next year. And the thing is next year's never guaranteed. A lot can happen. And you look at the Browns in the 3 years, Nick, that followed that.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Particular playoff season, a lot of stuff happened to the franchise.
It's interesting to say this because starting in 2018 when they picked Baker, Browns my dark horse. 2019, they got a new head coach. Browns my dark horse. Then 2020 happened, and now remember, this was the quieter offseason with Baker and Odell, where they only talked some mess, and then
Dad wasn't posting any videos on the gram.
Yeah, and then 2020 happens, and then next year it was Super Bowl contender, right? Even going into year one of Deshaun. Before, with all the stuff hanging over, there were still people saying, I mean, they've been waiting for this moment. This is why they traded for Deshaun.
Right.
Even smatterings of that last year. There's none of that this year. And that, yes. And let's go ahead and play the Wyatt Teller thing here real quick. This is Wyatt Teller being asked about how he felt about maybe the Browns being ignored, kind of on the big picture and some of the attention that they're used to getting that they may not be getting now.
I think that the less people talking about us, the better. No offense. You guys talk about us, but you guys are our local media. But I just feel that you're sitting watching TV or anything like that, and it's like, oh, the Browns are going to be great. Then sometimes you think that you've kind of already made it, which isn't a good thing. I remember when I got traded here 5 years ago, I was like, they were talking about how Cleveland's going to be great, and I think we finished 7-9 or, but you know, it was just like, we meet the expectations. So low expectations, we'll rise above them.
And I think it's not even just for the season. I think for the first 5 weeks of the season, that to me is the love bubble.
Yeah.
I can just go and listen, if they beat the bricks off, and if they beat the bricks off, that too. Or the bricks or the pants, whatever. If they beat the crap out of the Cowboys on Sunday, I know that there's gonna be some hype that follows here in town. But from Dallas to Jacksonville to the Giants to the Raiders to the Commanders, I think those five It's like a gap year in college. It's those 5 weeks to find yourself and who you are as the Browns. So the fact that there isn't one more bit of sound in there, another bit of pressure chirping in, oh, you should be better than this, or I didn't think you were going to be this good. No, love it. Low-key September, that's where we should be, and that's where we should want to be outside of, hey, it's Tom Brady's first game on Sunday.
By the way, the quietness of the offseason, outside of the Deshaun rehab process and all that, right? But let's say it was pretty quiet offseason for the Cleveland Browns.
Quietest I can ever remember.
Right. That's normal. What you now have a normal, functioning NFL franchise here in Cleveland. Those are words that a few years ago I thought would never fall out of my mouth. But you have a normal, functioning NFL franchise in Cleveland that has a very good roster. It's just their luck that so do the Ravens, so do the Bengals. We'll see about the Steelers. But this is a very good football team. It's not perfect. There's no perfect NFL team. There are questions. Every team has. The Kansas City Chiefs have questions, and they've won the last two Super Bowls going for a three-peat. But this was normal this year. It's a good thing, and it's quite okay if the national media is not throwing petals of roses at the feet of the Cleveland Browns headed into week one.
And they really only ever paid attention to the Browns, and this is the way for a fair amount of markets, when the Browns were combustible. I'm really okay, like, ahead of this game. The stakes are, it's one game, it's a nationally televised game, but it is a game. And so I feel like it's the correct size game for week one. Go out there, get it, and then we're going to do it three or four more times before we can make sweeping conclusions about the Cleveland Browns. I'm very content with where I think everybody is on Cleveland outside of here, which is a little more mellow than we're used to. I'm okay with that. Because then if the Browns come out week one and win big, well, then it feels like, then it's just our party. If the Browns come out and lose, there is a pathway forward that the next couple weeks we might have to have a little patience as this thing gets rolling to talk about. Patience with the Browns to talk about vibes. This is a man. When we think vibes, we think of James Palmer, underdog fantasy NFL reporter, now joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. James, vibes, are they up or are they down?
I thought they'd just be more active. I'll be honest with you guys. Like I was saying this, I think I was on Bleacher Report last week just talking about Deshaun Watson going, I don't know why this isn't a larger storyline nationally. I mean, this is a really good roster. This is a team that won a lot of games last year. I was there for a chunk of them. And why aren't we talking nationally about Deshaun Watson and what we could potentially see from him, what we think we'll see from him? More frequently, because this is a team that should, again, win a lot of games. And if he plays like he's played, like the quarterback that they went out and gave up the draft capital and the financial toll to get him, like, this is a Super Bowl contender. But that's a big question mark. Why haven't we been talking about it? I don't know. I'd love to chat with you guys about it because I've been dying to talk about it.
Well, since you opened the can of worms there with Deshaun, James, look, I honestly don't know what to expect from Deshaun this year. I know what I should expect to see from him, and that is a player that is playing like a top-tier quarterback in the NFL that's making $46 million a year. But I don't know if the Browns are going to get that guy this year. So let me ask you, where are you at with what you think or expect to see from Deshaun this year?
I think we're going to see him be a little more comfortable. I think that's huge. I think what Ken Dorsey's brought in has a lot of similarities to what he had in Houston, which I covered him as a beat reporter for the Texans way back in the day. And some of the things that Bill O'Brien set him up to succeed with, Ken has brought those back. And it's a lot of the gun. He operates and sees the field so well out of that, running the football out of that, operating with the pistol, doing some things that lets him use his physical abilities. The scary part is, as he gets older, he's a quarterback that plays the position in a manner in which, let's just say it, he gets hit. Like, there's contact in the way he plays the position. And I think that's the thing, as he continues to play, that keeps you a little bit fearful. If he can make sure he stays healthy, we know he plays through injury, but if he can stay healthy and kind of avoid some of those hits, I think we'll see a much more comfortable Deshaun Watson. I mean, talking to people there, they do feel like as camp kind of rolled on these last like 10 days of camp, he definitely kind of found his groove, I was told, like got a little bit more comfortable. The arm is fine. I know there was obviously the arm soreness stuff that popped up, but like they do think the arm is completely fine. I just think the comfort level has to be there. And with what's going on at the O-line in front of them, that might make it a little bit difficult when Micah Parsons is chasing you around. But in terms of weapons and the way this offense should go, I was talking to some OCs the other day that they were like, David Njoku should have a season in this offense and the way it could be set up for him. And so there's some positive thoughts around it. You just got to go see it. So what you said is exactly right, because I don't think anybody's seen it yet.
James, what do you see as the ceiling with the Browns with a healthy, productive Deshaun versus the ceiling for the Browns with a not healthy or limited productive Deshaun?
Well, I mean, would they win 11 games last year?
I believe so.
Right? I mean, and they didn't have a healthy Deshaun. And I mean, they should be a Super Bowl contender with him healthy and playing, even if it's slightly below what they gave up to get him. I mean, he used to. I mean, when they did that, that season in Houston, that last year in Houston, the team was terrible. He was unbelievable. If he plays even in like, you know, like a top 10, 12 quarterback, they still should be potentially a Super Bowl team because of the way this defense is built and the way that they should be able to get after a quarterback. Like, they should sack Dak a good amount, honestly, I think, come Sunday. I mean, with the way that Jim Schwartz can do this. I mean, I remember on NFL Network last year, I was saying repeatedly, one of the biggest offseason acquisitions in the NFL was Jim Schwartz. Like I know we talk about players a lot, but like, that was one of the biggest things that happened in the league. And so I think you just look at the way this roster is built, the talent that they have on all three levels of their defense and where they are. They have enough talent at the skill position players. I really believe that. And when Nick Chubb comes back, I think they should be that. If he plays at a low level, I still think they're a borderline playoff team.
Well, it's interesting. You mentioned Jim Schwartz last year. I would argue the biggest acquisition for them this offseason, not Jerry Jeudy, but Mike Vrabel as air quotes, senior coaching consultant, a.k.a. David Njoku's personal tight end coach, which is why I think I agree with you, James. I think Njoku coming off a Pro Bowl season, he was so explosive with Joe Flacco, a quarterback. I'm with you. I think Njoku is in store, if he's healthy, for just a monster year.
Yeah, I the way this offense is built, it can really play to his strengths. And if they develop a really good relationship and rapport, him and Deshaun, I think the way this thing is put together, he really should build off of that. I mean, it was great to see it come together for him a season ago. And he's a tough cover, man. I mean, I tell me the corners, specifically slot corners, too, that, like, you know, are on the smaller side. They're like, yeah, I want to go tackle that. Like, no, like it's an intimidating player coming down the seam, and they can utilize him, I think, quite a bit. And I love that you brought up Vrabel. You know, I mean, like, I've seen him coach up close and personal and latch on to certain players and change the course of their season. It happened when he had Jadeveon Clowney when he was down in Houston. He was a position coach. He's done it with certain players that he sees something in. I mean, I think it's a travesty. He's not a head coach in the NFL right now. It's just insane to me. But, hell, that's a great benefit for the Cleveland Browns to have that mind and that type of teacher in the building, and who also, you know, has quite a few touchdown catches of his own playing the tight end position, I believe.
On the field, the biggest acquisition this offseason was Jerry Jeudy, getting him from the Denver Broncos. They quickly gave him a contract extension. What should Browns fans expect to see for Jeudy and his impact in this retooled Ken Dorsey / Kevin Stefanski hybrid offense?
Yeah, I mean, I'm standing in Denver right now. I mean, I watched him in Denver quite a bit. It just didn't really fit. I mean, early on there were some injuries, and then when it came with him playing with Russell Wilson, that was less of a, you know, a Jerry problem and more of a just Russ plays off schedule, and you got to kind of, you know, Jerry was a really good route runner. I mean, he can put you in a blender, and that just quarterback receiver style there didn't fit all that well.
he can create space. I think this is a really good opportunity for him to go and exploit defenses in positive type of matchups that they're playing his favor. I mean, we just talked about Dave Njoku and what he should probably draw from defenses. You still have Amari Cooper. You're going to have, when Nick Chubb comes back, a run game. Like, he should be in a position to be in a favorable matchup that he should win, honestly. He runs unbelievable routes. I mean, you go ask the corners that are really, really respected in this league what he's like in his release getting off the line. I just think he has to block out the noise. That was a huge issue in Denver. Just kind of, you know, all the things that come with being a star receiver and not producing on the field that come, you know, from the media, from the public, from social media. If he blocks all of that out, I think he has the ability, we know that, physically and as a football player, to go out there and put up numbers. It's there. We just haven't seen it for one reason or another, and it's almost been one thing each year that's kind of held him back a little bit, and hopefully that doesn't happen this year.
James Palmer, Underdog Fantasy NFL reporter on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. So I've read a few different national pieces on, you know, predictions for the yearly awards, and one name that I have not seen for Comeback Player of the Year in any one of those pieces is Deshaun Watson. Do you think that do you view him as a viable candidate for Comeback Player of the Year as we get ready for the season?
I think so. I mean, he missed enough time, right? And it's with an injury. Like, I always look at that position, I mean, that award, and go, all right, what's kind of the criteria that stands out? Like, I know everybody's probably picking Aaron Rodgers, right? You got probably Kirk Cousins on that list as well. But, like, when you have an injury to your throwing shoulder as a quarterback, and you miss the time that he missed, and he doesn't really play football in, what, like 10 months? I mean, that puts me, I think, in my opinion, that puts him right there in the ability to win it. If he goes out and plays at the level that we've seen him play in his career, I know it's been a minute. We all know it's been a minute. Everybody in Cleveland knows it's been a minute since he's played at that level. But if he goes out and plays well, I mean, I don't see how he wouldn't be in the conversation at all, considering the injury and the position.
James, great stuff, man. I hope you get to the bottom of why nobody's paying attention to the Cleveland Browns. I personally like it that
like
we're there.
Thing of mine. Yeah.
But if you get to the bottom of it, let us know, okay, bud?
Yeah, you guys got it. Go Buckeyes, by the way.
Ooh.
Huge. I really did love my squad, what I saw out of some youngsters. And Will Howard, I really, really liked the way, you know, the big man moves. I didn't really watch him a whole lot before.
I got
so his size, man. He can move.
I got to ask you real quick here, because I took some flack on this. One game in, he is so much better, just talent-wise, throwing-wise, than Kyle McCord. Do you share that take with me?
And that's a tough thing for this Philly kid to say about a guy from the prep. But listen, he is so much better than Kyle McCord. He really, actually really is. I mean, I you know, early on in the game, I was just like, man, he settled in, man. And, you know, we're going to be able to use him in running the football in third and short and things like that. Like, he's a big, accurate passer that can also use his legs. I was really impressed.
I love that. Now we agree. James, great stuff, buddy. Appreciate you.
All right, guys. Take it easy.
James Palmer there on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.